Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and, of course, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Lingui, I've Heard the Mermaids Singing, and After Yang. Very intriguing. Hi, David. How are you?
Well, good morning. And as is so often the case, I've got three movies to talk about today. And they're all pretty good, I have to say. Very interesting movie, although very, very different from one another in all kinds of respects. So the first one I would like to talk about has a slightly unusual title. It's called Lingui, L-I-N-G-U-I. And it's also known as The Sacred Bonds, and which refers to family once we get into the movie itself. But this is a movie which it was produced with resources from quite a number of countries, but it takes place in Chad, the African nation of Chad. And it deals very much with a very important social reality of Chad, which is that according to the movie, and I'm sure it is true, abortion is really, really illegal there and frowned on. It's against the Muslim beliefs of so many of the people there, and it's just against the regular law anyway, and this is a movie that deals very much with the question of abortion. It is about a woman, very religious woman, who lives with her 15-year-old daughter, whose name is Maria. The mother's name is Amina, and the daughter's name is Maria. And early in the film, Maria reveals to her mother that she is pregnant, and she doesn't want to have this child. She is, after all, only 15. But the school that she goes to has found out that she's pregnant and is going to kick her out because of this. And maybe she can solve that if she manages to get an abortion, and she can certainly solve other problems if she gets an abortion. But abortion, again, is very illegal and very much against the local customs as well as against the law. So this is the problem that our main character, well, two main characters, the 15-year-old and her mother, are dealing with. And we basically follow their progress or lack thereof in trying to solve this. And I certainly won't tell how the movie develops or how it plays out, except that it's a wonderfully done human drama. And along the way, help comes for our two main characters from a relative who has a much younger daughter, a little girl basically, and her father is insisting that she be circumcised. So this brings up into another issue, which is very much alive in various parts of the world, very much including parts of Africa. This other mother wants to save her young girl from the ordeal of undergoing what is euphemistically called circumcision. And so we have them entering into the story as well, and eventually we have these two mothers helping each other out, and we get into a couple of related areas of sexual morality in the nation of Chad. But it's mainly not so much a political drama or a legal drama. It's very much a human drama as we follow both of these mothers, but mainly we follow Amina and her daughter Maria in this quest for an abortion. And the big question is whether she should have an abortion at all. The mother at first is very much against this, but then she comes to sympathize with her daughter's desire for this and so forth. Now, this is a subject which is dealt with in movies from time to time. And I was thinking back to some of the fairly recent movies that have also dealt with abortion in various ways as a political issue and as a social issue. Mike Lee made a movie way back in the earlier 2000s called Vera Drake, which is that he's a very, very great British filmmaker with a very strong social conscience. And he made this movie about a pioneering abortion provider in England named Vera Drake. A very, very well done movie, very interesting movie. Slightly after that, there was a fascinating Romanian movie called 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days, which very much dealt with the subject of abortion in another country where there are very, very strong prohibitions against that. And again, about the search to find an abortion in places where it's practically impossible. And then just recently, a couple of years ago, there was a superb superb movie called Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, which also dealt with this very fraught topic. So even though abortion is very, very controversial in America and is even more controversial in some other parts of the world and less controversial in some parts of the world, it's a subject that gets dealt with periodically in the movies. And I have to say that Lingui, again, also known as The Sacred Bonds, is a very, very sensitive exploration of this topic. But again, it plays mainly out as a very, very warmly done human drama. The acting by a cast of actors that come primarily from Chad are absolutely excellent. And the filmmaking is beautiful, too. The movie was written and directed by Mohamed Salah Haroun, a very, very talented filmmaker. So again, if you're interested in the topic of abortion, and I think a lot of us are even more interested in this topic just as a social issue now than usual because of what may be, probably is, coming down from the Supreme Court of the United States quite soon and what's been going on in states like Texas recently. It's something that I think all of us have to think about a lot. And that's what this movie Lingui does. It thinks about it a lot and presents the very human problems involved with this very fraught social issue. So I really, really recommend it. It's streaming. You can see it pretty easily. And again, it's just a beautifully done human drama. I really hope that it attracts a good American audience. It's also, by the way, pretty rare that a movie from Chad gets into American distribution. So I'm very happy to see that happen. It maybe suggests that we are broadening our movie horizons a bit in the United States. And again, Lingui is a terrific movie if you want to broaden your horizons. Whatever your position about abortion might be, this is a movie that presents the issue in very human terms, along with related issues such as female circumcision in Africa, and does so with beautiful performances and a beautifully written and directed movie. I really, really recommend it very, very highly. Our next movie today, again, as I said before, is very, very different. I've heard The Mermaids Singing, and this is a revival of a movie that came out in 1987. Canada has been, this is a Canadian film by a Canadian filmmaker, a very gifted one, Patricia Rosema, and Canada has been restoring and preserving some of its earlier movies and putting them back on the circuit, and I've heard The Mermaids Singing is just opening about right now on the American scene. And it's another movie, like all three of today's movies, which I recommend very strongly. It's a lovely, lovely little film without the fraught political overtones of Lingui, but it's just a beautifully done movie. And it's just it's a little comedy drama that I liked back in 1987. And I looked at it again just recently, and I still like it now. So I've heard The Mermaid Singing has nothing whatever to do with the T.S. Eliot poem from which those words come. And it doesn't have much to do with mermaids either. It's not about mermaids. It's about a young woman whose name is Polly, played by Sheila McCarthy. And she doesn't really have much of a plan in life. She's just very likable, and she likes art, and she likes to take photographs. And she takes a job at an art gallery run by a woman named Gabrielle, played by Paul Bourgeois. And working in this, she's a temp secretary is what she is, very low-level job. But she likes being around the art, and she likes being about the gallery scene. And she gets to know her employer better and better. And it turns out that her employer is a lesbian who has a girlfriend who comes to visit. And apparently their relationship has not been entirely smooth. And Polly sort of deals with that. She herself has had some boyfriends, and she's not sure how she exactly relates to all of this. And that's basically what this movie is. It's about a young woman who likes art but is not really an artist, and it's about her employer who runs this gallery and who is a painter who is too insecure to even show her work to anybody. And at one point her work gets shown a little bit thanks to the new temp secretary, and that causes some tension around the office. But it's a movie that deals with art. It deals with human relations. It deals with people. But above all, it has a very, very light touch. It's sort of a comedy drama that sometimes is a little bit funny and sometimes is a little bit dramatic. Never very heavy and easy department, but just sort of moves along with this delicate touch. It's delicate in all respects, and the acting very much falls into that category as well. It's a hard movie to describe, really, and it keeps you sort of off balance, and it has a very, very interesting sort of open-ended ending, which I like very, very much, that again really keeps you off balance. You're not even sure at one point whether the movie even ended or not, but it sort of keeps going when you don't expect it to. And I liked all of these aspects of it. So if you're interested in the art scene, And if you're interested in the gallery scene, and if you're interested in the photography scene, and if you're interested in unconventional love affairs and people who are sort of a little bit open about their private lives, but not 100%, about people who maybe want to create art but aren't really secure enough to do so, or maybe aren't secure enough to do so openly, it's about all of those things. But again, it deals with them all in a very, very delicate and light way. So I really liked I've Heard the Mermaid Singing. It's a lovely movie. It's going to be playing here and there in the United States. And I really recommend it. It's just a lovely little movie to seek out from way back in the 80s when things were different in America, things were different in Canada. But this movie, I think, really touches a lot of human chords. I like it a lot. I hope people go to see it. I've Heard the Mermaids Singing. Once again, nothing to do with T.S. Eliot, nothing to do with mermaids, but a lot to do with a sort of whimsicality that maybe that phrase implies. And our final movie today, Jill, is maybe the most ambitious of the three, although, again, it's a movie that is done with a very light touch. It's called After Yang, and it has nothing to do with the recent candidate for a political candidate, Andrew Yang, nothing at all. It deals, in fact, with an android. Whose name is Yang, and the movie very much deals with sort of after Yang in the sense that the very first thing that happens in this movie is that the android, it's a science fiction movie, the android Yang breaks down. And this causes some hardships in the family where Yang is very much a member of the family. And the whole movie is basically about this very small family dealing with various repercussions after their beloved android has broken down. But I'm getting ahead of myself here because I explained the setup for this movie. It takes place in the future. And yes, there are androids around. And we have here, again, a very small family. The father's name is Jake, and he is played wonderfully by Colin Farrell. And his wife's name is Kira, played by Jodie Turner-Smith. And they have a very little daughter named Mika. And Mika is an adopted daughter with Chinese lineage, Chinese ancestry. And because she is adopted, and because the family can afford it, they have gotten themselves basically a Chinese android, an android with Asian appearance and all kinds of Chinese knowledge and Chinese memories and that sort of the simulation of Chinese memories. And he is able to teach the little girl, Mika, who is, again, of Chinese ancestry. She's adopted, to teach her about her ancestry and who the Chinese are and the people from whom she has biologically come, even though she now lives with this family, which is not Chinese in origins. Jake is white, Kyra is black, and they are very loving parents, but they want their little girl to have a sense of her own heritage, her own ancestry, which again, biologically, is Chinese. So they have acquired this very interesting Chinese fabricated android whose name is Yang. Now, Yang, again, breaks down very early in the movie, and this causes distress to everybody. Little Mika doesn't really understand, what does this mean? When is he going to come back? Are we going to get him back? The thing is that this is a family that is well enough off to be able to afford an android, but they were not well enough off to be able to afford a brand new android. They basically got a refurbished android, refurbished and certified, but hey, turns out that the refurbishment was not all that excellent, and the certification was not all that reliable because, yes, now Yang has broken down. So Jake, the father, goes off to try to get Yang repaired, put back in business, and finds out this is not going to be easy at all. It turns out that these things, yes, the manufacturer keeps a very tight rein on these things, and there's stuff in the android's works which nobody is allowed to open up or tamper with or even going to look at. So Jake has to find somebody who is willing to do this, even though it's against the law, to sort of get into the inner workings of the android. And what they find is something that might be spyware. Maybe Yang, this lovely, helpful android who was mainly acquired just to help a little girl grow up. Maybe he had spyware in him. But then again, it turns out maybe it isn't spyware. Maybe it's some sort of memories that the android has been storing, memories of his own. And androids aren't supposed to have memories. They're not supposed to be fully human in any way. So what is going on here? And Jake manages, through some various machinations, to be able to get a look at some of those memories. And they turn out to be very mysterious and very fleeting, and they involve a young woman. Nobody seems to know who the young woman is, but apparently she really meant something in Yang's life, maybe even something in Jake's life, and all this becomes a kind of a mystery. And while this mystery is going on, Jake is still trying to manage the family, help little Mika through her grief over Yang's no longer being around, and maybe even get Yang repaired some way or another. Anyway, that is what After Yang is about. It's about a family that is dealing after their beloved android has vanished, or at least gone out of commission, and might decompose soon if they don't manage to get him fixed. And then a museum enters the story. Well, anyway, all kinds of things happen. Now, the main thing I want to say about After Yang, which, by the way, was directed by the director who is known as Kogo Nara, and this is only his second feature film, but it's a very, very interesting film, is unlike almost every other science fiction on the current scene, and almost unlike almost any science fiction films I think ever made, it is quiet. Most science fiction films go out of their way to compete in terms of noise and action and spectacle. This is a quiet, intimate little movie, and that's what I love about it. It is so quiet and so delicate and so light that it just keeps you captivated, even though there's nothing spectacular about it. It tells a fantastical story in an unfantastical way, and it drew me in and it held me from beginning to end. So if you want to see a science fiction movie that is unlike almost every other science fiction movie and tells a warm human story that deals with an android, then After Yang is the movie for you. I recommend all three of today's movies, but maybe After Yang the most of all. It's unlike any other science fiction around, totally unlike Dune and all that sort of thing, and I just had a lovely time with it. So, a beautiful, delicate little film. Go to it. Have a beautiful, delicate little time. You'll enjoy it. And that's my somewhat varied story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you very much, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Lingui, I've Heard the Mermaids Singing, and After Yang.